Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
And we're back and we're live and we have a surprise. It's an introduction show interview. Those are always very cool and fun. We never know where we're going to go. Soul Level Healing with Carolyn is what's happening, and we'll unpeel the onion one layer at a time, starting with her famous first question. Let's bring her on and start the fun. Carolyn, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hi, how are you, Nicole?
Excellent, how are you?
I'm great.
Thank God. Okay, good. We're off to a good start. So, famous first question. The reason I ask this is it's the place that connects us as a community and movement now in its 27th year. You know, the earnest search for the authenticity of what's really real and what's really possible. So for me, I had a lot of experiences, well, from the immediate, well, my first one was in the womb, but, you know, from my whole childhood, having experiences that were quote-unquote outside the 3D norm. And in talking on these interviews and asking this question, we find that a lot of people have. It's not that as unusual as, you know, we're made to think. And a lot of people, we just don't talk about it. So we talk about it here. So I'm curious what your earliest recollection of something outside the 3D norm that you experienced was. And then we'll get into some of the, you know, memorable, most profound moments, but what was your earliest memory of something like that?
Oh, gosh. So growing up as a child, I was very sensitive. So, you know, just sensitive to, but I didn't even know about energy, you see, because I've been born to a family that, you know, it's just that kind of doesn't exist. So for me, I guess I sort of realized that I've always been fascinated with the spirit world and things like that and angels and that imaginative side of me as well. But I guess when I reflect, I would have nights where I would just feel someone was in my room, you know? Yeah, but of course, because of the way I'd been brought up, it wasn't like I could go and say to mum or dad, there's a ghost in my room, because that world just didn't really exist for them. Then actually, more that I think about it, as I got older, it was after my grandparents, my dad's parents had passed. And I realised that actually, no, my dad, he's like me, because he would just come out with some random sort of things like, he'd say, oh, I think BG and Nance were in the house today. And, you know, again, it always just resonated with me. I just knew that that's exactly what was going on. And then I guess, because I went to a normal school and, you know, I've been programmed but I guess it was sort of in my 20s where I just, you know, I felt like I was being inauthentic and that true authentic self was being hidden, and it was like the spiritual world was getting stronger and stronger. I was getting more and more visits at night. And some of them were so intense that I actually, you know, when you sort of, you wake, you think you're awake, but you're not. I actually went into my flatmate's room and I was like, there's someone in my room. I'm telling you, there's someone in my room. And so it got, those sorts of things got stronger and stronger. And then I guess it just, even when I was probably in my 20s, I never felt right. I'm going to talk about vaccines because there was something there that I was like, there's something off about this. And actually, you know, when I reflect now, I had a terrible fear of needles, terrible fear. And I believe that was my higher self telling me this is not what you should be doing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it sort of, it's just continued. You know how you have every sort of age and stage of life, you have these awakenings that happen. And obviously that was one. And then, of course, the biggest one for me was the COVID pandemic. You know, all of a sudden it was like I'd just been whacked on over the head. And I was like, oh, my goodness. This is actually not true, and we're being lied to. And, you know, that for me, that was the biggest part of my awakening. And I think I've said to you this before, Nicole, that in 5 weeks I went from this feels really off, there's something off about this, and I got the message. As soon as someone talked about coronavirus, you know, back when it was still coronavirus, I just got this really heavy feeling of, oh shit, we're heading into something that's not good. And I guess it's just gone from there, you know, and it's just been like people I've met, you just keep aligning with these beautiful people that just help you awaken more and more and more. And even as, you know, I was 32 when I decided to become a naturopath, and that was a big deal, you know, to go and retrain at that age. But again, it was another stage of my awakening, and those intuitive, just listening to those messages and starting to sort of trust myself and not living in fear, because I lived in fear for most of my life. I was terrified to do anything because I was so worried about what I might look like or what someone might think of me or failing or, you know, all that programmed crap, basically. Does that kind of answer your question?
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a couple specifics, but we'll get into the the COVID pandemic awakening phase in a minute. But let's back up a little bit to when you were sensing things in your room and stuff. Did you ever see anything? Did you ever have any sense of communication or, you know?
I guess for me it was more just this feeling, you know? It was a feeling of, so my bedroom was, you know, like I lived on a farm and we had a big farm homestead. And so I was on the other side of the house, everybody, and to get to my bedroom, you used to have to walk through the sitting room, and it was always, you know, just kind of like this vibe, and I never liked walking through there in the dark. I always thought, where the lights. But again, I still was like, oh, I'm probably imagining it. Am I imagining it? You know, just keep questioning myself. But now I wasn't trusting because I didn't have that support. I didn't have anyone to talk to.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I probably could have talked to Dad. I don't know why I didn't. But it was more, I don't know if he could have got his head around random stuff going on in our house. You know? It's just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting how solidly, you know, how solidly that's programmed into the point where we don't talk. And here it's like a major trauma and a major awakening if we don't talk. I'll tell you what, though. Once I had kids, if they told me there was a monster in the closet, I'm like locked and loaded. Yeah. Where? Let's go. You know what I mean? I take it very seriously. I did not mess around.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Oh, the stuff I saw. Jesus, when I was a kid, no way.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
So that's... Oh, God, yeah. Well, that's kind of what drives me to do this, I think, because I have, you know, in my go big or go home style, it was pretty dramatic stuff. And, you know, and
that was always my initial shutdown too, was going into fear. I can't tell me how many times I thought, well, I'm probably for certain going to die, but I'm going to stay under this blanket cover and see if I wake up in the morning. You know?
Yes.
And I did.
Yeah, I definitely put under the covers.
Mm-hmm. Magic covers. I don't know. Stuff goes away. It's weird. Anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're expanding our hours and stuff specifically because of the deep other level of awakening going on the planet now. That did start with all the shutdowns and the global house arrest crap and everything else. Because a lot of us were going, wait, something's off, right? For me, I was a little bit kind of just observing for about 2 weeks, and then I was like, no, this is something really off here. Yeah. And honoring that alone, with that kind of pressure that we stood up against, you know, like, holy cow. You're in New Zealand, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it was pretty locked down there. I'm in Canada, which was one of the worst places to be.
Yeah.
You know, it still is to some degree. The birth of the Freedom Convoy Truckers movement and everything else was here, and for good reason.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
You know, when I saw, as a journalist, which is what I was before I started all of this, to catch news, quote unquote, I'm using air quotes, news people, blatantly lying on news. Mm-hmm. I was just like, wow. It was just a whole new level for all of us, I think, to see, you know, I mean, this is happening in a lot of ways, right? The veil's coming down and the illusions are no longer hidden. And it's going to keep going, and it's a bit shocking. You know, back in the day, I think we all talked about this stuff being sort of all light and love and floating around in moo-moos with harps and on a cloud and having fun.
Yeah.
Well, a little more to it. So, you know, when you said you retrained, when you retrained at 32 to be a naturopath, which is really cool, I'd like to know more about what were you doing before that and what was the driving force that motivated you?
That's when it gets really interesting.
That's why I'm asking.
So when I left school, I honestly had no idea what I wanted to do. And again, I probably just kind of listened to what everyone else was doing. And so I ended up going and doing a degree, which was really a Bachelor of Nothing. You know, it was called a Bachelor of Resource Studies, so basically environmental studies, and majoring in tourism. I mean, really, what is that? But anyway, so really, I just went to uni and I had a good time and just got drunk and stupid. I'll be really honest, you know. And then I came out of uni and I was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And anyway, Gisborne, my hometown, is this very, very small city. And at the time, I was in quite a serious relationship and he was in Gisborne. So I ended up doing some volunteer work because I couldn't get a job, doing some volunteer work for our Department of Conservation. I worked for them and did some volunteer work for council. So I have been part of the system. And I was part of the system. I worked for Gisborne District Council for about 3 years, I suppose. Then I went on to the UK and I witnessed their system. So I was an environmental planner. I worked as a planner in England as well, and then I also did in Australia. And it wasn't until I got to Australia in Queensland where I realised how corrupt the system was. And, you know, like, the way I worked as an environmental planner was on pure intuition and gut instinct. And whereas all my colleagues were all, you know, the analyzers, and whereas I'd get an application, I kind of flip through it and kind of be like, oh yeah, no, I can go with that, you know, and then I'd go through and do the more fine tooth combing. But it was really Australia that probably, I started to go, oh my goodness, this is not good. And then I worked for Tauranga City Council, which, I'm sorry, is just the most toxic, awful environment I've ever worked in. And, my call to wanting to do natural medicine was just getting stronger and stronger. And, you know, I kind of used to turn, I have all my potions around me in the office, and they all call, I think, what are these? I'm pretty sure they used to call me the office witch. You know, they kind of pissed out of me. But they knew, but at the same time, when I did actually get the guts to finally leave, they were really happy for me. They were like, this is not your world. And it wasn't. It honestly wasn't. Yeah. And it got to the point where, I guess, my higher self, my team, were just, they had to kind of put me in quite a dark place to actually get me to move. And it just happened. I just walked in one day. I'd just done this enormous hearing report. So it had been a big application, a notified consent. And I just finished it, and I walked in, and there was another one sitting on my desk. And I was just like, are you kidding me? And I was like, that's it, I'm done. And I just walked into my team leader's office, and I just said, I'm sorry, I'm done. And she knew. She was just like, good on you. I know we've been waiting for this. And it was scary because I left. I had no job to go to. And with my heavily programmed parents as well, they were kind of like, you left with nothing to go to? And I was like, well,
yeah.
I had to take that jump, because if I didn't, no windows were ever going to open, no doors were going to open. And it was actually my my beautiful auntie, who's a Reiki healer. It was something she said to me a couple of days earlier. She said to me, if you don't close the door on one world, you're not going to get the opportunities. And I was like, yep, you know what, it's so true. And that was it. I just did it, and I never looked back. I ended up, so I did a distance course. So I did 2 years of my natural medicine degree, and then I had to move to do the final year. But, and I just worked in retail the whole time, and,
Oh, wow.
It was just
wow.
A fresh year to just not be part of it. And when I used to go back and visit some of my friends at council, and immediately I'd walk in there and I'd feel like I was like, almost like I couldn't breathe. Constriction. I felt that immediate constriction and the energy. It was just like, no wonder I just pretty much ended up a head case by the end of my stint there. So, So there you go.
You had some kind of influence around you then. You had some kind of influence around you that was aware of holistic things and energy and stuff, right?
Yeah, definitely. At that point in my life, there was just so much, I just had so much mind and ego going on still, though. You know, like this fear, and even though I absolutely without a doubt knew what I was doing was my passion, and I loved it. You know, I was at school, I always struggled with school, whereas when I did my natural medicine, it just came so easily. I went from being, a pretty average student to getting A's, and I know that's a program in itself, but it just goes to show the passion that I had for it.
Yeah. See, and this is one of the reasons I love these interviews and the story of how we get there, because people who aren't ready to take those leaps yet, they just assume, oh, it's easy for them,
No.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying. And let alone, the natural medicine was only the first stage of my, where I'm at now.
You did the naturopath stuff. And,
Yeah.
Sorry, my dog is scratching. Where did you go from there? Like, where did that lead you to?
Well, this is where, you know, as I said, there was still a lot of ego going on with me. And even at college, I used to sort of, there was like this part of me that was trying to go against the, you know, the kind of woo-woo part of, even though I, you know, like it was like a real conflict. And I decided that I wasn't going to do the same as every other naturopath. And because I've come from, you know, I've always been very fit. I've always played a lot of tennis and, you know, loved my sport, which, of course, is another program, but that's another story. So I actually specialised in sports performance and holistic sports performance. So it was working holistic nutritionally, I went against the grain very much in terms of, I was always very much against dietetics and clinical nutrition because I was like, you can't say to an athlete, you need this amount of carb, blah, 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 your macronutrients, but, you know, we don't really care what source that comes from. And they kind of live off these horrendous, back then, processed protein powders and protein bars. And, you know, it wasn't a clean approach. Whereas for me, working with my athletes, I was like, carbohydrates are not just bread and pasta, you know? So it was cleaning up their nutrition, but also I was working on their stress, their immune systems. I used to work with a lot of teenagers, and these kids were just exhausted. You know, they were literally falling asleep in school. They were overtraining. That was the really big focus for me, was trying to get through to the parents as well, is that, you know, less is more sometimes. And for me, I guess I was harnessing that intuitive gift that I have, but I wasn't out and proud about it. You know, I was still kind of trying to come across as that real sort of professional. So I was all branded, you know, I had a uniform. Yeah, but don't be wrong, I loved it. It was, you know, I loved seeing this transformation in these kids that weren't exhausted and sick all the time. And so that, you know, I did that. But at the same time, I was still practicing as a naturopath. So I had Ocean Force, which was my sports performance clinic. And that's sort of where I gained the traction in terms of clientele and things like that. But then kind of it got a bit confusing when I was trying to put a lot of more naturopathic information on my website. So then I created a sister website, which was Nature Force. But Nature Force the focus then was come and see me, I'll keep it simple and you'll get results. Because I was more about, you know, a lot of naturopaths can overwhelm clients with just, they can't do it. It's just too much. So that was sort of the focus. I was still working intuitively, but still not really letting on. For me, the biggest in my awakening and where I'm at now was when I fell pregnant and, my beautiful little girl who is she's a little starseed. And I always knew that's who I was bringing into the world. And, but it wasn't until after I had her that suddenly I was like, because I was someone who was not maternal at all. In fact, I didn't even think I was going to have children. And then my whole world changed when my beautiful little girl entered the world, and I just everything I did with her was intuitive. Everything, every decision I made, you know, I didn't get caught up in reading books and all that, listening to what everyone else said. I went against the grain, you know, because 7 years ago, it was still pretty tough to go against the grain as a mum and, you know, having an unvaccinated child and things like that. And, you know, I was using herbs with Millie from she's probably about 2 months old when I was using herbs with her. And then it was, the big one was when she was about one. She was old enough to kind of voice what she was seeing, like obviously not verbally to me, but it was one night where because she was always a very settled, very content, happy baby. And then one night she just started to wake up and I could feel terror. She was frightened. And I had my mum here actually, and she was like, oh, you know, you'll start creating a habit. And I was like, I'm telling you, there is something going on. And so I just felt it within every being, every part of me, that there's someone in that room. I know there is. And so at that time, I was very much like, what am I going to do? I can't do this was actually the word. I don't know how to do this. So I ended up being put in contact with this beautiful healer who was able to work remotely as well. And she did a huge clearing for me. But during that process, I came up against, so here in New Zealand, obviously, you know, our Māori culture is very strong and Māori are very connected to the land and very spiritual people. And we have tohunga, which are, you know, basically like your high priest. And so I got a local tohunga in, and it was really hard because he'd back against what I was telling him. And I was like, you know what? I don't care what he has to say. I know that there is someone in this house, and I'm not going to listen to anybody who's telling me no. And it was just for this week, all of a sudden, I live sort of near kind of like a waterway estuary. And I always walk around there. And I was walking down there with my neighbour, who's also very open. And I just stopped. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And for a moment, I thought, oh, my goodness, am I actually losing it? But all of a sudden, I could see spirit everywhere. And they were all over the water, black, like, you know, just shadows. And I said to Sally, and I said, oh, my goodness. Oh, my God, are you seeing what I'm seeing? she was seeing that. But it was, so for this period of a week, my team decided to kind of like, we need you to trust in what you're feeling, and the only way we're going to do that is we're going to open you up so you can see. And it was just crazy. It gave me a taste of what Millie's world is like. And it was just spirit everywhere, all over the water, all through the bush. I had my first encounter with an earth angel, you know, the pop-ins that come in. I was in a shop one day, and again, another spiritual lady, and I was dying to tell her about what was going on. And I said to her, I was like, oh, God, I wish that lady would leave. I want to talk spirit with you. Turned around and said to me, she goes, Which lady, darling? And I said, oh, you know, the lady over there. And she said, no, there's no one in here. And so I was just like, okay. And that's when she said, she'll be a pop-in. I get quite a few of them. And she started talking about how she used to get, she gets spirit coming through that were dressed in sort of 1950s clothes. So incredible week of this affirmation of you are not crazy, you are not, you have to trust what you are feeling. And, that was it. That kind of kicked me off again. And then the healer that I became quite dependent on, I was always getting her to do clearings for Millie in the house, and she ended up having a really nasty leg break, and that was it. She was unable to help me anymore, and I can remember feeling really, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And it was Kim who said to me, she goes, you've got this. And she had just shown me a couple of tiny things, and I went, almost like, are you kidding? That's all I have to do, you know? And that was it. Boom. I was doing clearings left, right, and centre to the point where it was actually taking over my life a bit. You know, I was in such a protector mode for Millie that any spirit that bothered her, it didn't matter where it was, I'd just, boom, do another clearing. And because it became, it was so kind of easy for me, and I also was able to astral travel and just go to places and sort it, I kind of took it for granted a bit, and I just was getting very energetically depleted. And as we all know, the more work that you do with spirit, the more they come in, and it was just getting so full on. And so I kind of had to try and set some boundaries again. And I don't get as many now. I don't do clearings for anybody else. I only do clearings at home. And when I used to do clearings, I work Archangels, and I used to be part of it. So I, you know, it was kind of like the control tendency in me that I had to be part of it, so I knew what was going on. So I'd basically be off doing a nature walk. I'd be out in the bush somewhere, and I'd just travel to home with my team and do healings or do clearings. And I realised, I was like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be filling your cup up out in nature, not draining yourself while you know. So I had to have a bit of a reality check. And my best friend's a healer, and she's taught me an awful lot. And she was like, what are you doing? You know, you've got to fill your cup up, and you're not filling your cup up at the moment. So that's when I just took a major step back. And now when I do any clearings, I just call them in, and I trust that it's going to be done and it's taken care of. I do check in later on, but I basically am able to walk away and just go, you know what? I know they've got it in hand. So Millie has been a very big part of this
mom, I can totally relate. I can totally relate to that, the power of that kind of motivation.
Yeah. And even now, you know, because she's not able to stand in her power with spirit, so it's still very triggering and trying at times, because anywhere we go, they just hop in the car sometimes while we're driving, and I'll just notice straight away, I'll see this energy come over Millie, and I'm like, oh God, you know, and it just can be really challenging, and I still feel very much like I'm the gatekeeper, and it's my responsibility to protect her until she's able to step into her power and do it for herself.
Yeah, wow. Well, it's quite the journey, and very exciting ups and downs and ins and outs, and very cool stuff that I'm sure everyone listening can relate to. Let's notice what time it was. Let's talk about what you do for other people.
Okay, so as a result of the whole pandemic, I just I get all my downloads while I'm walking, and I just thought, what are you doing? This doesn't resonate anymore. You know, I'm realizing what sport is. It's ego-based. What are you doing? And then even nature force, it was just like, you can't heal the physical. You have to be working with mind, body, and soul. So I basically got rid of all of that and created a beautiful new website, which is just me, Caroline Kemp, intuitive naturopath and healer. And I literally put my heart and soul into it. And it took me quite a while to actually be able to take this step forward, because I've been doing healings for other people, for Millie, for my friends and things like that for years, but I've never ever brought it into my practice. And I just knew I had, it was time, I had to do it. But I also had some fear around the fact that I haven't gone and done my Reiki papers. I have harnessed my natural gifts and I have learnt and fine-tuned what I do through different healers that I've met through, you know, through my journey. And I think that was a lot of my fear about, oh, but I don't have the degree to go on the wall. And so I guess, you know, at times I felt like I was an imposter. I had the imposter syndrome going.
Right.
So I finally, when I let the website go live, I was like, oh my goodness, because as you've seen in my website, I haven't held back about my journey. And
which is good.
It was quite, you know, it's you feel really vulnerable because you're actually allowing the world to see and allowing my friends and family to actually see what's gone on for me. And I think my family found it quite confronting because no one wants to hear that your child didn't, you know, that you struggled with feeling loved unconditionally and things like that. But for me, it was so important to be authentic so that people that want to work with me, they actually get that I'm not some, you know, pure as driven snow and everything's just been so easy in life and I've just been able to do this boom. You know, I've been through a huge journey to get to where I am now. And, you know, I'll be really authentic here. Nicole knows how big a deal this is for me to even be speaking to you guys. I just love, you know, I love what I do. In fact, in all honesty, my passion, I will always be a medicine woman. Don't get me wrong. I love my herbs. I do a lot with essential oils now in terms of healing. But I am so passionate about ascension and just helping people evolve and the journey. And just when you see people starting to step into these amazing versions of themselves that, you know, I guess they don't even think it's possible. It's just like, wow, you know, this is why I'm here. I'm a light worker. That's who I am. And you can't be a light worker if you're working in sports performance. You know? You know?
Well, you could, but it would be, different.
Basically.
So, no, that's why we're all here now. I mean, are you feeling like we are that urgent push, like now is the time and you're needed more than ever?
Massively, hugely. And I think that's why, you know, when I was connected with you, I was like, come on, if this isn't a message for you to take that leap, then I don't know what else is. And I was like, you know, I can do this, I'm ready. And I want to put myself out there because I want to help people. You know, I want to help them help themselves and help awaken people to this absolute
shit
show,
right?
That we've been witnessing.
Yeah. Just remembering who they really are and what we're really capable of. So thus far, what kinds of things are people coming to you for help with?
Well, as it is turning out, most of my work is turning out to be energy work now. It's just helping Obviously, you know, doing the basics, clearing, cleansing, aligning, opening and activating their chakras, cleansing their auric field, healing, sealing, protecting. But it's also working on clearing trauma, you know, clearing that heavy, that when I sort of tap in, the image I get is like this big, sticky, heavy tar that's just weighing, you know, it's weighing humans, it's our humans down. And we're not able to hold more light as long as we are holding this heavy, dense stuff that's, you know, it's just, and it's, and I guess what we're seeing now in the collective is we're seeing people think their lives are falling apart, but they're actually not. It's their soul trying to show them, hey, this has been here for a long time. It's time that, you know, you need to feel it so we can release it. And it's manifesting physically. And so, you know, regardless of the jibby-jab, there's also so much going on. Look at all the relationships falling apart, things like that, marriages breaking down. And, you know, at the time, I get it. You know, they are very much in this, why is this happening to me? But it's trying to teach them that life isn't happening to you, it's happening for you. And the hard stuff is where you're going to experience incredible growth if you just allow it. If you allow yourself to just be, to feel that, you know, that lack of self-worth, self-love that is so rife in humanity, basically. Does that kind of answer your question?
Yeah. You know, I'm wondering what kind of advice you give. I mean, let's talk about the collective for a moment before we get into our final section here. You know, like, collectively, well, we talked about, you know, the pandemic waking people up on different levels, and it's not all a bowl of cherries. It's, you know, some tough stuff we've had to look at, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the collective itself, I mean, when you look at what's spewing out from the collective consciousness is a lot of dystopian apocalyptic viewpoints, right?
Yeah.
So what are your tips for your clients and for people listening to maneuver through that and hold that light? How do we do that?
Yeah. For me, I take my experience of what I've gone through in the last 4 years, and yeah, like you said, it's not easy. It's not an easy process because you're having to see this, you know, this darkness that we've been living in, and coming to realization that everything you've been taught is a lie is not, it's not easy. You know, even down to music you used to love, you're like, oh my goodness, oh, you know. And I guess what I sort of talk to them about is, I know it's challenging. It's very hard because you're very much, you've got one foot in one world and one foot in the other. But I guess what we need to continue to focus on is trust and continue to focus on being present. And, you know, like everything that we are seeing, it is an illusion, you know. And the more that we step back and actually go, like I tune in and just go, you know what, everything that is happening perfect timing. It's literally, you can see the systems dismantling and unfolding. And I've actually been able to step back now and go, oh my goodness, this is actually really exciting. You know, the more that it gets more twisted and crazy, the more, you know, the closer we're getting to this beautiful new earth that we're all striving to create. So that's sort of whenever they, I'm just very mindful that we can easily get stuck in just focusing on the doom and gloom, but I don't feel that doom and gloom. I just see it more as, oh, wow, this is really exciting, you know, and we just have to stay in that place of trust where everything is happening as it should be, you know, and we're stepping out of that victimhood, I suppose. And it's taken a long time for me to be able to get to that. And even, you know, like with me checking in on social media, I have chosen to disconnect from a lot of the truth world, and I just pretty much have a couple of sources where I kind of tap in, you know, see what's going on, and then I tune into what I pick up on, and then I try and get on with my day and what I need to be doing for myself in terms of working on my evolution of consciousness and ascension and clearing out my stuff, because I'm far from done, you know. It's just constant. So does that sort of, I think that's where we need to, we can get very caught up in, you know, all the media bullshit, basically. And
now I'm
able to create some distance with it and just go, you know, I mean, look at the latest show, the disgusting satanic Olympic opening ceremony. Ugh. My immediate reaction was actually I kind of laughed because, oh my goodness, this is so in your face. Come on, people.
Yep.
You know, you can't think that that's okay, really. So, you know, I'm not getting so angry all the time because I'm trying to make that conscious decision of just staying in that place of trust and, focusing on gratitude, I guess.
Yeah, it always comes down to those basics, doesn't it? Just getting back onto your track and doing our own stuff. Like if everyone did their own stuff, we'd be fine. I mean everyone.
Taking a pause. stopping for, you know, just for a few minutes and taking some beautiful breaths and, you know, just recentering and releasing whatever we've tuned into. And I guess I try and teach my clients, you know, try to tap out of the collective because it is so draining. It's, you know, when you're feeling all their stuff as well as all out, you know, your own stuff coming up, it's just, it's exhausting.
It's definitely overwhelming, especially, you know, a huge amount of the people listening right now are of the empathic nature. And,
It's so tough.
It is. Well, here we are. We've got about 5 minutes to the top here. It just goes by so fast. So we have a tradition here, long-standing tradition of shameless self-promotion coming from a place of service and heart as opposed to funnel marketing and all that garbage. You know, because we're all here to be of service big time more than ever. Mm-hmm. And so we've got a whole 5 minutes to explore all your offerings and anything specific you want to mention. And this is it. Let it rip.
Gosh, let it rip. Well, basically, you know, I'm here to help people find their way and to navigate this, you know, the stuff that we are going through at the moment. And I just want to, so as an intuitive naturopath and healer, I'm tuning into what you need right now to basically help you. And so naturopathically, if someone was wanting to see me as a naturopathic client, what I create for you as a healing plan is specifically for you, right down to herbs, right down to dose of herbs, right down to lifestyle tips, nutrition, everything I tune into so that you are getting what you need for your highest and best version of yourself, to bring that version of yourself in. And the best way that I can help people is we can work on the physical, we can help the symptoms, we can help bring the body back to that homeostasis, but you have to be able to be willing to dive deep, and actually we need to heal energetically as well, and we need to bring up the stuff that we've been told as children, you know, be quiet, don't say this, don't say that. It's not good to feel, you know, these heavy energies. As humans, we don't like feeling them. So what do? We shut down and we lock them in. And what's happening now is it's all coming up. You know, our bodies are so incredible. They are literally showing you where these blocks, these limiting beliefs, these patterns, these ways of being are holding you back from stepping into this incredible light being version of yourself. And that's what I'm here for. I just want to help people to be that amazing version of themselves and to just clear out the junk, you know. Enough's enough of you know, living this life of I'm not good enough, I'm too afraid to let myself be loved. That vulnerability, we want you to be vulnerable, we want you to be authentic and just stop overgiving, you know, all this programming nonsense that we've been taught as children. You know, it's time to put yourself first and to really commit to putting yourself first, because you're no good to anybody else. You're no good to your family if you're still coming from all your triggers and, you know, that you're not coming from that open heart space, which is where, that's where we're supposed to be governing from. And trusting your intuition. We all have it. You just need to harness it. That's really all I have to say.
Well, it's well said, and it's a good balance of the physical and the energetic. One more question before we get cut off here. What do you perceive doing on future shows?
that one I'm still working on, but I actually, when I called in earlier, I sat and listened to your previous show just for about 15 minutes. And I actually really loved having people call in and listening to the previous person talking to people. Like,
yeah.
I think that's probably one of my strengths, is I'm able to connect with people and just chat to them. And I'm tuning in at the same time, obviously, getting messages. I didn't think I'd be ready to do that, but I actually feel like I am actually ready to face the questions and things. And
awesome.
I would also like to bring on some of my beautiful healing friends, some reflexologists, and one of my friends is an absolute guru of doTERRA oils in terms of emotion, you know, the trauma release. They're just so powerful. I'm an absolute believer in essential oils. They literally can transform you energetically. And she is definitely someone who has an enormous amount of knowledge in terms of oils and their properties and their vibrations and things. So there's a couple of ideas. I'll have to get into my inner sanctuary and start downloading.
Right. Yep. Well, that sounds exciting. It's all good, and it's been so great to spend some time getting to know you today. And we've had a lot of callers today holding, so there you go. They'll be excited that we can call back in next time. So that's exciting, too. Well, Carolyn, again, welcome to the News for the Soul family, and looking forward to your first official show.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. So am I, and thank you so much, Nicole, for this incredible opportunity. Like, I feel deeply honoured and have so much gratitude that you found me.
Well, my upstairs team found you, and I'm grateful as well. So we will talk again next time, and I'll be there to help you, and we can take some calls and just do whatever feels in the flow for you to do. So
okay.
Just breathe in the meantime, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much, Nicole. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Carolyn Kemp. She's all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. And we'll be back a little bit later with more right after this.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.